be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. When my wife found out that I had replaced our bed with a trampoline, she hit the roof. Awkward. That's the word I want to talk about this morning in relationship to marriage. As intimate as two people can be, as good a friendship as they may foster, there will still be these awkward moments. There will be some very rewarding and comfortable seasons in your marriage, but there will also be some very difficult episodes and times. If your relationship sometimes feels bipolar, we're so close and in love and it's so tremendous, we're so stressed and frayed and want to kill each other, we're so in love and close and so beautiful. Oy vey, relax. That's pretty much normal. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Father, we're bringing just a couple of words along with us today and forming a whole sermon around it. And we're asking for your help in this. Break thou the bread of life to us. I'm cognizant that everybody in the room needs a different message. And a different part of this message is going to minister to a different person. But we're asking you to be the author of it all and magnify to us what we need to hear and deafen those things that do not apply. But help all of us to be improved because we've sat under your word today. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I believe we can say by extension, she who finds a husband finds a good thing. The Bible teaches us that it's good to be married. That doesn't mean that it's not good to be single. Jesus and Paul both spoke of the benefits of being single while we serve the Lord. So, biblically speaking, it's a good thing to be single. And biblically speaking, it's a good thing to be married. Not elevating one above the other, each fulfilling the call that God has on our individual life. In our text, Paul has been talking about husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And then he goes off on a bit of a tangent, and he begins to talk about Christ and the church and how the Lord laid down his life for us all. That's why he comes back to the thought with an however here in our text. However, you know, husbands and wives, well, then Jesus said, but however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Jesus so loves us, so loves the church, that he died in our stead. Paul comes along and says it's that kind of love that will be necessary if you are going to be a married person. When you're dating, when you're infatuated with one another, when you're daydreaming of how wonderful it's going to be, as soon as you tie that knot, you don't know what the rest of the world is talking about when it talks about sacrifice. What sacrifice? What issues? What could possibly go wrong? I'm marrying the person of my dreams. Life will be sweet as long as I'm with this person that I love. Anybody remember that part of life? But you see, life doesn't play fair. Even princes and princesses get laid off or become ill or even die. And that little fantasy that we had, that dream world of ours, begins to crumble, begins to fall apart. Love won't keep you from misfortune, but love will keep you together through misfortune. As I mentioned in our introduction, there are a number of things in your life that will come about that will be comfortable, rewarding, very joyful. You'll have a wedding. You'll go on a honeymoon. Oh, there's that pregnancy test. Is it blue? Or whatever color the dollar store is advertising now. We just bought our first house. And then also there will be those very trying, difficult seasons. You're going to have a wedding. You're going to be going on a honeymoon. There's a pregnancy test. We just bought our first home. What were we thinking? And most of these things are a combination of the two. They're both joyful and stressful all at the same time. But depending on the individual couple, what is a blessing to one might be a horrific strain on another. And so we move forward with our lives. There are in-law issues. Just like everything else, it will ever be changing throughout your relationship. For some, in-laws will be the greatest thing that ever happened to them. I have a wonderful set of in-laws. But for others, in-laws will be the worst thing that they ever came in contact with. No two couples will face the same cocktail of challenges, but every one of us will be severely tested. My dad always says, point out any house you like, they've got their troubles. They've got their stuff. You have no idea what a fellow passenger on the highway or somebody walking past you in Walmart or somebody you work beside at work is going through. Everybody's got their stuff. And one of the keys to making it through successfully is to not press your face up against the glass and long to be in somebody else's house. Oh, they've got it good over there. Look at that. Oh, did you see his lawnmower? Did you see what they... You have no idea what you're thirsting after. Don't waste any time thinking, oh, I'd rather be with him, or I'd rather be with her. I'd rather be in that family over there. And this is one of the keys to finding happiness in your individual life. Stop envying anything else, because you have no idea what you're asking for. You have no idea what's going on the other side of the fence, how that grass got so green in the first place. Loving feelings will fluctuate quite dramatically. Some couples more dramatically swing than others. But it's not about feelings per se. Be ready for the moment you frustrated your spouse. If it's possible, you'd be ready for that. Be ready for the moment your spouse has frustrated you. How do you respond to that? How many realize having a sister is different than having a wife? Oh, well then, this is important for you to know. Sisters you grow up with and they pinch you and you pinch them harder. Sisters you grow up with and you make fun of them. Sisters you grow up with and you torture them. And not that I'm endorsing that, you understand. That's just an observation. But if you try to carry that same mentality into marriage, you're in for a very rude awakening. In fact, it would be better if brothers treated their sisters more like spouses are supposed to be treated than we treat our spouses like sisters and brothers are treated. Because the Bible tells us that when we get a wife, we're to treat them like fine crystal and be very careful and understanding in our care, and that, I think, goes across the aisle, back and forth. It's amazing how fragile all of our psyches are. It's amazing what a word can do to us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can crush my spirit. Words can change the direction of my life. Words can change the dynamics of our relationship forever. Be very careful about the words that you throw at one another. So you're frustrated. All right, everybody gets frustrated. But what you do with that will determine your future. Will it bring the two of you closer together, or will it drive you further apart? Will you leave scars on the spirit of your partner that you cannot mend? Everybody gets frustrated. Are you ready for when you get frustrated? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not rude, self-seeking, or easily angered. Do you fit that profile? Have you at least been getting better at it as you've matured? Have you been maturing at all? Very important. Feeling love isn't required. Acting in love is. There will be times you're not bubbling over with loving thoughts. But you are required to respond in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. So you learn how to bite your tongue. Didn't learn that with your sister or with your brother. You learned to give it back double. But now it's time to learn that, because it's very important to the preservation of your sanity and of your security and of your peace of mind. Don't say the first thing that comes to mind when you're agitated. And marriage will offer you ample rehearsal for holding your tongue, choosing to respond well, and reacting with wisdom rather than frayed emotion. Friends, if you can succeed at marriage, you can succeed at anything, truly. Because everything else you do is part-time. Marriage is one of those full-time occupations. There's nothing more rewarding than a close marital relationship, and nothing more painful than a broken one. Yet the strongest marriages have been through the most miserable of trials. Here's another one of those secrets, another key. If you can see your partner through the worst of times, you'll reap the best of times together. Now, that's not to say that every marriage is salvageable. They're not. Some people simply will not blend. I believe it's generally true. It takes two to make a marriage. It takes two to make a divorce. But I've just seen a number of cases where one was very willing to make a marriage, and the other simply did not want to be a partner at all. And you can't do anything with that. You can try, and you do, till it all about kills you. But some marriages are not salvageable. And thank God he understands that, He's with us. I was talking to somebody just the other week about this very thing. He was talking about, you know, it hurts him to go to church because in the church background he was, you were a second-class citizen if you were ever divorced. And I said, well, you realize that God was divorced. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I believe it's in Isaiah. It says, God says, I wrote a certificate of divorce and I sent her away. Talking about unfaithful Israel. There were two kingdoms, Israel and Judah at that time. And Israel was just running after idolatry, running after idolatry, running after idolatry. And finally he said, I wrote her a certificate of divorce and I sent her away. When God says, I hate divorce, he hates the pain of divorce. And if anybody has been through a divorce, they'll tell you too, they hate divorce too. And they would say to any of us who are married, do whatever you can to preserve it because the pain is unbearable of separation. So each of us should decide, I'll do what it takes. I'll give as much as I can. I'll be the partner who yields in order for there to be a stronger us. Love is the first key word in our text. Respect is the second. And obviously, they have a lot to do with one another, love and respect. However, you can love someone without respecting them and vice versa. Allow me to illustrate. You may have very strong emotional feelings for someone. Your heart just goes pitter-patter and mishy-mushy, whatever it might be. You get those goosebumps whenever you're close to them. It's just very tender. But then they begin to share with you what's important to them. And you get a good laugh out of it. In fact, you actually think they're joking at first. Are you serious? Nobody cares about that. I could not give you any for instances without getting in trouble, so I will allow you to fill in your own illustrations there. But if you have strong emotional feelings for someone and do not respect what is important and of value to them, see, that's love without having respect. Most of us catch up a little bit somewhere in marriage where we understand this isn't a joke. You know, this really is important to them. And so you play a little bit of catch up. But some people go through their whole married life pshawing what the other person, what's very dear to them, and I might even say essential to their own well-being. Bah, that's not important. How could you even think that way? Their needs won't always match yours. But if you respect them, you will elevate their needs in your eyes. You will begin to care about things that you never cared about. Again, illustration. When you were a brother, gentlemen, you probably never submitted to a tea party your sister was holding. But after you've become a father, you find yourself with a cute little apron around your waist and your pinky extended and saying, this is the most delicious pretend tea I ever tasted. Why? What made the difference? The relationship. You were on an equal plane with, or fighting to be king of the hill with your brothers and sisters. But your daughter, you're cherishing, you're entering her world, you're caring for her. And as a husband or as a wife, that's what we're supposed to do. Enter into the other person's world. I know we have a whole world out there that's crying at the men, you know, macho, macho man. I know they stopped crying that in the 70s, but, you know. And the women, you know, hey, you don't need a man to make you feel fully fulfilled. You know, you can have a career. Now, that's true. But in marriage, we agree to melt and to blend. And it's not always a fun process, but we've agreed to do that. You don't want to do that? Don't get married. You want to get married, then start melting. Get used to the heat, the bending, the negotiating that is necessary. Likewise, you may respect someone and not love them. I don't know if you ever had any bullies where you went to school. How did you treat the bully? You gave them a wide berth. You talked very nice to their face because you respected them and how they might hurt you. But you did not love them, not one little bit. And some marriages have degenerated into respect. I don't want to push any hot buttons here, but there's no love. And if we fail on either end of those, it cripples who we are as a couple. Love without respect is belittling, and respect without love is empty. I was working on that last word. I started with abuse. Respect without love is abuse, thinking of the bully thing, but that was too strong a word. And maybe empty is not the right word either. Maybe you can fill that in on your own, but love without respect is belittling. I don't care about what you care about. What I care about is the only things we're going to care about. And respect without love is disappointing. It certainly doesn't reach to the level of a marital relationship. In marriage, we teach each other how we want to be treated. Not each fighting for their rights, no. But communicating in a loving way, this is what I need. This is what I need to hear from you. This will probably save your marriage if you're married. Assume no intelligence on behalf of your spouse. Now, women, you've already gotten that a long time ago. I'm having the men catch up here. Assume no intelligence at all on. Why did I say that? Because everybody's thinking, well, obviously they know what I want. Obviously they know why I'm angry. Obviously they know what I need. It would take an idiot not to realize. God bless you. You married an idiot. And there are no non-idiots. I'm sorry. So you have to spell out. You have to be clear, and I'm sorry to tell you this too, you will have to repeat the lesson again and again and again until we, now here's what we do. We didn't think we'd have to, but we finally vocalized what was really upsetting us. And what did we get for a response? Pah! Oh, I got a pah! Well, see if I ever mention it to them again. And what happens is it gets buried a little bit deeper. And then we start responding to one another with that issue inside. The other person has no idea what's going on, but we're convinced they know exactly what's going on. No, they don't. They're dumber than a hoe handle, as Kervin says. They really are. They really are. You will take a leap forward in your marriage when you hold your partner close to you and you say within your own spirit, not out loud, you poor stupid thing, you. I am going to help you understand the mess that is inside of me. And this is really beautiful if you think about it. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't. Yeah. We come as two messes, and we need each other to help fix us. And only in honesty and brokenness and in humility. Anytime we put up the pride, anytime we put up the bravado, we work against the melding and the melting that needs to take place in order for us to be whole. And so in your marriage, it is your responsibility to teach your mate, not nag, not complain incessantly, not bully in any way, but as tenderly as possible. And this is one of the reasons we need the Lord so deeply in our marriages. We think we're communicating very clearly what needs to be said, and we are not. And it's going to take God to help us to get our message across in a way that it will be received. It is wrong to assume your partner knows what you need and treat them as though they are purposely trying to mess with you. How many, when you were little growing up, you used to watch studio wrestling? And you said, that's what I want for a marriage. Or maybe you were a boxing fan and you said, oh, dude, I want a woman who can go 10 rounds. No. Nobody gets married wanting to hurt somebody else. I'm going to marry this gal and I'm going to make her as miserable as I possibly can for the rest of her life if it kills me. Nobody is trying to make anybody else miserable. That would be stupid. I mean, I understand we're idiots, but that would be, you know, nobody's trying to do that. They're trying to communicate to you what they need and want, and you're trying to communicate to them what you need and want. And somehow we get messed up in the middle of that. Don't assume they're trying to make you mad, please. Whatever happens. They've done this for the 100th time. They are trying to drive me insane. No, they're not. It's just that they're already insane. I know you told us 100 times, but we're that dumb. We're not trying to make you angry. Amen. Amen. But the devil gets in there. Do you know why he said that? Do you know why she did that? Ooh, they just, ooh. Now here's what you can do in order to get, it's not your sister, it's not your brother. Fine china, fragile. Here to help. Here to bless. So the right thing to do is clearly state and demonstrate what is and isn't important to you. And there's two errors you can make here. One is to just blatantly insist on it and be bullheaded and such, and the other is to stuff it all down. Okay, I'll never mention what I'll never talk to you about it again because you have violated, you know, it took me so much to finally bring it to the surface to bring it. You belittled it, and so I'm not going to ever say that again. We have to stay married. We have to stay engaged. We have to love and respect. I don't want you to get this wrong, but I don't want to say this wrong, but you have to love and respect who you are as a person too. And represent that in your marriage. And let the negotiations continue. Further, you're obligated to find out what is and isn't important to your partner without belittling it. Find out what they love. Find out what they like. Find out what's important and without belittling it, elevated in your own eyes. Most people get married thinking they found a perfect fit for their own dreams and desires. This is uncanny. They like peanut butter and jelly, and so do I. Oh, it's amazing. We went to a store the other day, and we both went in the door that marked entrance. This is amazing how we're just on the same page. I found out they drive on the right side of the road. Isn't that cool? I do that too. This is just, we're so simpatico, it just drives me batty. This is wild. This is going to be great. And then it's sometime after you're married that you find out they don't like going to the beach. What? Everybody likes going to the beach. My fondest childhood memories were at the beach. What's wrong with you? You don't like the beach. Whoa. Everyone. I already told my mom, we're coming to their house for Thanksgiving. You're going to have to call your mom back. My parents paid for the wedding. Now we belong to them. Yeah. Most people get married intending to find a perfect fit for all their dreams and desires. Da-dun-da-dun-dun. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. But what we get is a completely autonomous, independently thinking individual that will continually change throughout the years ahead. And it's all so hilarious until someone gets divorced. If you don't feel like you've given up more than your partner has, there's something wrong. Each will feel like they gave up everything. Marital compromise, marital blending hurts. And each phase of marriage has its own obstacles. I'd like to tell you that it gets a whole lot easier after the first 5 years. But then, of course, kids are there. And in so many instances, it actually gets harder for a while. How often have you heard it said, but they were married for 40 years. How could they get divorced? Well, the issues facing a 40-year-old marriage are different than the issues facing a 20-year marriage. And although it all gets easier for some, it doesn't for everybody. Sometimes it actually gets harder. Work on being a great partner, not on getting what you want. Feelings of love follow actions and intentions of meeting your spouse's needs. They may sometimes misread your motives, but if your heart's right, if you sit around thinking, what have they done for me lately? I've done this, 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 and this for them, and what have they done for me? Whew. Might as well make an appointment with a lawyer. But if you wake up in the morning and you think, now what can I do to express to them that I love them today? What have they been saying lately that they would really love? What can I do on their behalf? Your feelings of love will soar. Now here's one of those ironic things that happens in a long-term relationship. Things that used to be important to your partner, but not so much to you, eventually become more important to you even as they become less important to them. I don't know if anybody here has been married as long as I have, but it's just kind of cute to see that happen. They start acting like you. Now, is that a judgment or what? Yeah. You're becoming more perfectionistic about things, and they're becoming more relaxed about them. I guess that shows that some good blending has been taking place along the way. You're finally ready to spend more time with them, but they've moved on to other interests. If we can establish a reasonable foundation of love and respect, we will continually provide the balance for each other in our relationship. Love them dearly, but respect them too. Listen when they talk. We all have this Muzak in our brain, and we tend to turn it up whenever our spouse is talking, because we think we know what they're going to say next. We've been there before. So we hike up the volume a little bit louder, and shame on us all. But we can give better undivided attention to a stranger than we can to a spouse at times. But if we could establish this biblical, reasonable foundation, I love you and I respect you. I will give you some time. I will give you some attention. How much stronger our relationship would become. You don't have to see eye to eye as long as you can walk hand in hand. What I'm saying is we won't agree on every point. Sometimes we do have to agree to disagree. But we at least agree that we love one another and we're for each other as we move forward. Laugh at your differences without becoming sarcastic or cynical. Laugh at yourself. Let your partner be who they are with as little editorial from you as possible. Isn't that why you fell in love with them? The way they laugh. Their view of things. Love them, respect them, cherish and appreciate exactly who they are. Awkward are the moments we disagree. Awkward are the seasons of change. But deeper love follows the awkward plow as surely as spring follows winter. I've asked Mel to sing a particular song today because of essentially a couple of the words in it. I got some things right and some things I did not. Life's been a journey, you know. And our relationships are that, our lives are that way. I sure wish I could do over some of the things I got wrong in relationship. But he has been our God through all of it. He's gotten us this far, and he'll help us to move beyond. And I know we're all in different places. Some of you, friends, have been through a divorce, and it still hurts. Some are widowed. Some are single. Some are married. Some are on their second or third or fourth marriage. Wherever you're at, he has been our God through all of it. Amen? We've never walked alone. He has been faithful to us. There are things that happen we don't understand and can't explain to this day. But we know he loves us, and he's helped us through. So listen this morning and let God love you as you love God, and then we'll have prayer together.